Thanks so much for listening. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to thank today's podcast sponsor, which is Coda Luna and their baby keepsake castle. I personally just put all of my baby's memorabilia into these little keepsake castle boxes, and they are so adorable, functional, and if you really love organization, then you're really going to love this keepsake box. So not only is it a keepsake box, but it also includes a baby book, and it has space for capturing all of the milestones of your baby's early years. And then the keepsake box itself stores all of the memorabilia that you want to keep. So baby's first socks and pacifier and the little hat that they wore when they came home from the hospital. So this keepsake castle with the baby memory book is more than just an organizational product. It's a gateway to preserving the remarkable journey of new parenthood. So take a moment to visit keepsakecastle.com today and embark on creating a lasting legacy of love and nostalgia.
Hey Megan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome back. I'm so glad to talk to you again.
Yeah, same. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are doing this episode to dive into postpartum psychosis and to differentiate between that and other perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And we're going to take a deep dive. Megan, could you please introduce yourself for anybody that didn't listen to the first episode that you were on? And then could you also talk about what prompted this conversation?
Yep, sure. Okay, so my name is Megan McCutcheon. I'm a perinatal mental health therapist. I have a private practice in Northern Virginia. And Amanda and I had talked, I don't remember now, several months ago, and had done an episode on perinatal OCD. And, you know, after recording that, we both were at the Postpartum Support International conference this year. And I went to a really great talk that was given by a survivor of postpartum psychosis. And, you know, some of the things that she said in that talk made me really kind of want to become more aware of how I'm talking about and referencing this disorder, and in particular, the differences between postpartum psychosis and OCD. And, you know, just in listening to a couple seconds of our recorded episode, I thought, ooh, I want to clarify a couple of things. So, yeah, so I reached out to you, and the research shows that people need to know. So yeah, let's do it.
So to start out, I want to start with a very fundamental definition of postpartum depression and postpartum psychosis, just so that if anybody has never heard of these terms, or maybe they've heard of postpartum depression, but not postpartum psychosis, so that everyone's on the same page. So if you wouldn't mind giving us a definition.
Great. So off the bat, I'm going to kind of change it to perinatal depression and perinatal psychosis, just to make it really clear that these different disorders we're talking about can also happen during pregnancy. So a lot of times the language is kind of used interchangeably, but just want to be really clear that these symptoms can start during pregnancy or they can start postpartum. So just know, you know, sometimes moms are like, but I haven't had the baby yet. I don't think I have this. You can absolutely begin symptoms during pregnancy. So with postpartum depression, this is a period of time during pregnancy or after giving birth where you experience an episode of depression, where you're feeling down, you know, tearful, not like yourself. Sometimes it can show up as irritability or just feeling disconnected. Sometimes there's a really hard time bonding with the baby. This is not an emergency, but it's something that absolutely you want to get treatment for, and it's very treatable. Postpartum psychosis is really different, where it is an emergency. It is a break from reality where moms are having psychotic thoughts. And I'll talk a little bit too about postpartum OCD, because that's what we talked about last time. Postpartum OCD or perinatal OCD is a part of a perinatal anxiety disorder. And it's when moms are having intrusive, scary thoughts. You know, sometimes that shows up as, what if I drop the baby? What if I get into a car accident? What if I accidentally harm my baby? And these thoughts cause a lot of distress for moms. They're feeling like, why am I feeling this way? Am I a bad mom? And that's really different than psychosis. So psychosis, the way that shows up, it's also scary thoughts, but a lot of times they show up in a much different way. They're sort of demonic, more, persecutory or paranoid. So not things like what if, not so much the what if statements, but more like my baby's possessed by the devil and I have to save them, or, you know, God is calling upon me to save my child from the evils in the world. So a much different quality of the thoughts. You know, it's not just those sort of what if this happens. It's this is very bad. This is going to happen. I need to protect my baby. And it is an actual break from reality.
I was going to ask, could you also differentiate then between postpartum or perinatal anxiety and perinatal OCD?
Yes. Yeah. So postpartum anxiety is when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling, you know, it might show up as irritability, confusion, just feeling super overwhelmed. For me, that was my experience. It was like this constant need to be productive and racing thoughts. So the OCD, I kind of like to explain it as like a flavor of perinatal anxiety, because it's really, we're really looking at the thoughts. The thoughts are the piece there that are just really, kind of pesky and intrusive, and just the brain won't stop with the what if, what if, what if, what if this happens, I'm not safe. And a lot of those thoughts with OCD are very, you know, they could happen. I mean, it's true. We could theoretically get in a car accident with our baby. We could drop our baby, right? And so they're realistic thoughts. With psychosis, they're psychotic thoughts. They're not grounded in reality. They're more of the nature of, you know, just devil, God, sort of, there's sometimes a grandiosity with it, of feeling like I have to protect my baby, you know, God wants me to do this. And so what we see with OCD, with psychosis, that it does carry a pretty serious risk factor of sadly suicide or infanticide. So some of the stories we've heard about in the news, you know, in past years, I think Andrea Yates is the big one that a lot of us know about from the early 2000s. This was a mama who unfortunately was experiencing postpartum psychosis and wound up drowning her four children. And, you know, these are horrible, horrible stories. And I think we need to talk about them to help people to understand that this is not an evil woman. This is not a bad mom. This is someone who's going through a psychotic episode. It's a temporary psychotic episode where she's, you know, has a break from reality, and what she thinks she's experiencing is very real to her. So it often can show up as hallucinations, auditory things like hearing commands, like you need to save your baby, or sometimes looking at the child and instead of seeing the baby's face, seeing the devil's face. And it sounds really kind of far-fetched and sort of out there for people who have never experienced a psychotic episode, but in those moments, it's so real for moms.
Oh yeah. So, another thing, and we talked about this in the last episode that we did, talking about this entire topic, but what we talked about before was the fact that these, you know, horrible, tragic things can occur with psychosis, but that doesn't always mean that it does. And it's actually rare that suicide, homicide, infanticide is the outcome. And it's like the minority of, and it's very rare to get postpartum psychosis. It's even rare that the outcome will be so horrible and tragic. And I think that's important to talk about too. And the prevention piece, like, or the prevention of the horrible outcome, but the treatment piece.
Yeah.
That is like the part that I just want to shout from the rooftops of, like, there is treatment available.
Absolutely.
So like, please go ahead.
Yeah. So there's a couple things to unpack here. I think there's the statistics. Then there's also the risk factors, and then also the treatment. So with the statistics, it is, I'm trying to not use the, this is one of the things I learned from the talk I went to, is to be careful of using the word rare, because that can be stigmatizing for the people who do experience it, thinking like, gosh, why am I so, you know, sort of abnormal or out of the norm? So I'm trying to use the language, it's uncommon, but it absolutely does happen. And so, you know, postpartum mood and anxiety disorders, the depression, the anxiety, the OCD, those are very common, like 1 in 7 moms. The statistics for the psychosis is 1 in 2 out of every 1,000 births. So it's not, you know, super common. It is very much more rare, but it does happen. And so we want to make sure that people who experience it don't have the shame of like, why me? Why am I this, you know, abnormality? And so while it is less common, it can happen. And because it does have the risk factor with it, that's why it's so important for people to just be aware, because as you were saying, there is treatment available. And so this is a situation that is a medical emergency. We do want to get mom treatment right away just because of that risk factor. But at the same time, it's very treatable. Sometimes it does require some hospitalization for a period of time, or, you know, separating the baby just to make sure mom's safe until we can get her on some antipsychotics. And then with medication, she can make a full recovery. This is a temporary thing. It doesn't last forever. It goes away and then, you know, may never come back again, may be at risk more again in subsequent pregnancies, but then you have it on your radar.
Yeah. So then resources, treatment.
Yeah. So I'm going to back up a little bit and talk about some of the risk factors first, because I think that lends itself to the treatment. So, you know, 50% of people who develop postpartum psychosis or perinatal psychosis have no history of psychotic episodes. So that's where the awareness piece comes in. Just knowing that this is a thing that probably won't happen, but it can. But then there's also a really high correlation with people who have any history of psychosis in themselves or their family members. So if you are someone who's had a psychotic episode before, bipolar's another sort of risk factor diagnosis. So if you're somebody that has bipolar in yourself or in your family, or has any type of psychosis in your family history, you're more at risk for potentially dealing with this. And so those parents just want to really have it on their radar. Just talk to their doctor, just kind of say, hey, you know, heads up, this is in my family history. So let's just make sure that we're monitoring for this. And also having, you know, significant others, spouses, family members kind of have it on their radar. Because when somebody is in a psychotic episode, again, like they're not in their right mind. And so they aren't even able to see, you know, oh, something's wrong here. So that's why I think it's really important to educate, you know, just the general population and anybody who's around birthing people. So the treatment with that, if you have any family history, is just getting ahead of it, letting your doctor know so it can be on their radar. Once it happens, the treatment is getting immediate medical attention. Often it does involve a period of hospitalization just to keep everybody safe. We're not talking like, you know, months and months, but to get the person suffering on an antipsychotic so that those psychotic episodes will go away, so that those hallucinations, those visions they might be having, the auditory things that they're hearing, so that those will end, so that they're not suffering. And yeah, so it's typically medication in this case, not something you have to be on forever, but until, you know, we really get a handle on it. If somebody's had a prior experience with postpartum psychosis, then often it's recommended that they begin prophylactic treatment. So if they have a second baby, let's just get you these medications up front so we, you know, can really prevent it, because it is such an awful and scary experience. One of the things I really wanted to clarify that I said last time, that this was kind of the point that I was like, ooh, I need to clarify that. I had talked about postpartum OCD and how one of the ways to kind of differentiate is that women experiencing postpartum OCD are really bothered by their thinking. They're really horrified by, oh my gosh, why am I having these awful thoughts about I might hurt my baby, somebody else might hurt my baby, we might get into a car crash. They feel a lot of anxiety around that. That's not the case with postpartum psychosis. Moms are so in that delusional psychotic state that they're not aware that their thinking is off or that their thinking isn't based in reality. But the point I really want to clarify is that postpartum psychosis can really wax and wane. So it can come and go. So you can have a period of having those psychotic episodes and then kind of snap back into reality. During those periods of reality, moms can absolutely feel bothered, like, oh, something's wrong. I feel anxious about it. So I want to clarify that it's just during the moments of psychosis that moms aren't in the right frame of mind and don't have the clarity to feel bothered by their thoughts. Instead, they feel very, very compelled to act upon them. So if there is this thought of my baby's not safe in this world, I have to protect him from the devil, you know, I have to save her from whatever, there is that drive to, I need to act on this to save my baby. It's from a very loving, protective place, but it's not rational. And so in those moments, moms are wanting to act on their thoughts. They're not bothered by them because they're in a psychotic state. So hopefully that kind of sums it up a little better and gets away from any of the confusion that it's completely different. It can wax and wane. And so moms in psychotic states during the waning period can absolutely feel, I'm upset by this and I know something's not right.
Yeah, that's super helpful to know because I didn't know that about the waxing mm-hmm. and waning. Yeah. So I'm just glad. I'm glad that we're talking about this and that we're bringing light to this less commonly discussed topic.
I think one of the reasons why I hadn't thought about this before, but just, you know, thinking about it right now, I think part of the issue is that we hear about these stories sometimes when they happen in the news. A mom killed her children and herself. And it's awful. And we look at it as that snapshot, right? But we don't often, and the media really sensationalizes it. And it's just, you know, it's not often well understood. And so we don't really look at, okay, well, mom was struggling for 3 months with these moments of, oh my gosh, I have to save my baby, or looking at her baby and seeing the devil's eyes. You know, she's having these experiences and they're coming and going. And if the family members, you know, notice anything, I'll talk a sec about some of the things for family members to look out for. But if they notice some of the symptoms, then the next day she might seem fine and they might be like, huh, I don't know what that was. And so really important to get that treatment because of this waxing and waning quality, mom can go in and out of psychosis. And when we're hearing about it in the news, it's because a psychotic episode has gone too far and she's, you know, committed what often is in our legal system deemed a crime, when it's the symptom of a mental health illness that could have been treated. If during those months prior she had gotten treatment, it would not get to that level. And so that's why I think it's just so important to bring awareness and to let, you know, moms know that this is something to get help for. If you think anything's off, if you have memories of, oh, I looked at my baby and saw, you know, sometimes it shows up as like, they'll look at their babies and see bugs crawling all over them. And so that's, you know, that's not realistic. That's not actually happening. And then they'll kind of come back to reality and have this unsettled feeling like something just happened. So reach out, get help. For family members, what that can look like is, and I know you're going to provide a link, I'm reading from my blog article I just wrote, but some of the symptoms are irritability, just acting irrationally, uncharacteristic behaviors, talking to herself, thoughts and conversations that don't make sense or are disjointed, looking kind of dazed and confused, any sort of suspicion, paranoia, accusatory, thinking people are out to get her or her baby. Sometimes it shows up during the psychosis piece as they can't follow a plot in a TV show or a movie, or they can't read words. Like they're so in that psychotic state that sometimes they can't even read. And that was something that was really interesting to me and that I didn't know about until I read this book. I can provide you a link to the book as well, but just the idea that, you know, they're just off and they just don't seem in their right mind. Sudden religious preoccupations is another one, just because the psychosis often shows up in this sort of demonic way. Just watching out for new moms that suddenly have this religious preoccupation that they didn't have before.
Yeah. And if family members notice these things, that's a precarious place to be, to say like, I think something really serious is going on here and it might require hospitalization. It might require a temporary separation between mom and baby. That is so heart-wrenching. I mean, just that alone. So like, if a family member were to see this and notice this, as a trained professional, like, what would you recommend as next steps?
So somebody needs to be with the baby just for protective factors. Again, like mom is a danger to the baby when she's in a psychotic state. She's not a bad person. She's not a danger when she's in her right mind. But when she's in that psychotic state, she is a danger to herself and the baby. So we want somebody with the baby at all times. Don't leave mom alone with baby. And then we want to get mom to the doctor. And, you know, it sort of depends. If she's in the state of psychosis in the moment, go straight to the ER. You know, if it is sort of in a wax, you know, a wane period, and she feels more comfortable as the first step going to her, you know, doctor, her OBGYN, her primary care, so she can get some psychoeducation before being sent, you know, to the ER, or to a psychiatrist for the medication, you know. So it just sort of depends on what stage is she in when you're seeking the help. Usually it's going to be they're noticing it during the psychotic episode. And so go straight to the ER. It's not going to be forever. The other thing I want to differentiate too, because this comes up a lot, is back to the difference between the OCD thinking, those scary thoughts. What if I drop the baby? What if I hurt the baby? What if I accidentally stab the baby while I'm cooking with kitchen knives? Those are such scary thoughts to moms. Those are not a medical emergency. Moms that are having OCD thoughts, those are just intrusive thoughts. There is not a risk that they're going to act upon them. So I like to kind of mention that here, because I have seen a number of women who have come in to see me after a trauma of being hospitalized when they didn't really need to be. So it's just really unfortunate. I think, you know, a lot of our doctors and OBGYNs and nurse practitioners just don't get good training in their programs. They're wonderful, wonderful practitioners, but they don't always get this perinatal mental health piece. And so I think there are a lot of people, because they know about postpartum psychosis, they have a mom come in that says, you know, I just had this scary thought about throwing my baby down the stairs. And they're like, oh my gosh, this might be postpartum psychosis, send her to the hospital. And then those moms, you know, the separation from their baby isn't necessary. It's really hard on them. And then they often come to me traumatized on top of their postpartum anxiety and OCD. And so I think that's just a really, again, like a reason that I'm really so passionate about educating people, is that there's a big difference. With psychosis, there does need to be a period of separation for baby safety. If it's OCD or anxiety, that's not helpful.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I am so passionate about the work that Postpartum Support International does, because a little known thing to most parents that PSI does is it not only does it provide resources for parents, and that's what I mostly talk about in this show, but just to let everyone know, a huge majority of the work that PSI does is educating professionals. Professionals, not just therapists, not just mental health professionals or psychiatrists, but OBGYNs, doulas, you know, like literally anybody that can interact with a parent in the perinatal period. PSI has training specifically for professionals. And so I just wanted to let people know that in case they didn't know that. But that's, I mean, it's just, it's so important. We're helping parents and we're helping those that support parents.
Right. And I'm actually a volunteer coordinator for my region for PSI. And so one of the things that I just recently did was record a training. So I have a training too. It's kind of like a quick, simpler version of their really long basic training or an advanced training for people that want to get the certification. But yeah, if there's any providers out there that want to know more, you can absolutely visit my website or get in touch with me, and I can link you to that if you just want kind of the overview of all the stats and the symptoms and the risk factors of all of these different perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. Because yeah, I just see that all the time. I was actually just connected with some nurses at one of the local hospitals who were just saying our nursing staff like doesn't know this information. And so that's kind of why I did the training. And I was like, here you go. Anybody can watch it when they have time. And then, yeah. And also with Postpartum Support International, they have a great hotline that you can call to just get more information. So if you're a mom that's struggling, we can hopefully provide a link to that. They can call and say, this is what I'm dealing with. I'm not sure what my next steps are. Family members can call and say, you know, my wife or my daughter, my friend, This is what I'm seeing. What do you think this is? What do you recommend? And they can get some help if they're having a hard time differentiating between, you know, is this a medical emergency? Is this psychosis? Or is this anxiety, OCD, depression?
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that. And I'm definitely going to link to that in the show notes. My other question for you is related to inclusive language. We talk a lot about moms, but what about, you know, anybody else? Like I also like to differentiate between moms and birth givers, people who give birth. And so my understanding is that anybody who gives birth, it can be at risk for a perinatal mood or anxiety disorder. What about partners, like dads or spouses? Do they ever get postpartum psychosis?
Yeah. You know, I don't think so, but that's interesting that I don't actually know for sure. I want to say I've never heard of a case of a dad. So dads or partners, you know, heterosexual, non-heterosexual, anybody is at risk for this if they're a partner, significant other, spouse. For PMADS, the depression, the anxiety piece, I have not worked with or seen the intrusive thoughts of OCD in dads, and I've never heard of a case of psychosis with dads. Those are often so like neurochemical. I think with the psychosis, it really is a biochemical thing that is happening because of all of the hormones and whatnot with delivering a baby, with carrying a baby, growing a baby. So I haven't heard of significant others coming in or, you know, having the OCD or the psychosis, but absolutely they are susceptible to depression and to anxiety. A lot of times with moms, I think it's also just like a biological wiring that we have in us, this drive to protect our infant babies, to nurture. And what I see is that people that come in with a postpartum anxiety disorder in particular, it's somebody who we kind of look back and trace, like, they always kind of like were a little on the anxious side, but it wasn't a clinically significant thing until they delivered, and that desire and drive to protect kind of went a little off the deep end. And so that was my experience when I had postpartum anxiety and I had some of the intrusive thoughts. You know, I kind of looked back and I'm like, yeah, I kind of always was a little on the anxious side, but for me, it was productive. It kind of lent itself to being able to write books and to be super productive. And postpartum, it just kind of went a little haywire. And so yeah, I think there's a big biological component to this. And then just also all those hormones and that nurturing drive that we have.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that, that you differentiated with that, and that, I don't know, that we're talking about it, that we're talking about the spouses, we're talking about the biochemical feedback, because that goes to the point that I really wish that all parents that ever experience any type of mood or anxiety disorder or psychosis, I hope that they know that it is like something happening to them. It is a disease. It is not them. I wish that there would not be shame with this. Other feelings, of course, are going to come up, but yeah, that's part of the reason why I like talking about this, why I think it's so important to talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so much that can happen with pregnancy and birth. It's such an unpredictable time. And, you know, just like everybody gets screened for gestational diabetes, you know, they're monitored for preeclampsia, things like that. And there's not really a stigma there. I've had gestational diabetes and I've worked with people that have, so I know there can be this component to like, did I do something wrong? But it's a little bit easier to wrap your brain around. This is like a physical thing happening.
Yes.
And there's just so much more stigma with the mental health stuff, but it is the same sort of situation where anything can happen. You know, it's funny when you look at the risk factors for perinatal mood and anxiety disorders in the presentation that I do, the training, there's like two whole slides full of risk factors. And I always laugh and I'm like, what woman doesn't have at least one thing on this list? Like,
yeah,
pretty much nobody. So, you know, so they're so common for them to happen, and there's no shame and stigma. And psychosis, while it is, you know, doesn't happen as often, it's also not your fault. It's so easy because of the way the media portrays these tragedies that do happen to look at it as, you know, oh, that mom was crazy or that mom was bad. And no, she is just having a brain chemistry reaction to her pregnancy and giving birth.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you so much for the work that you do and for just this moment of saying, you know what, we talked about this. There's so much more to say. Like, thank you for raising your hand and saying, absolutely, like, let's go there, because that is so, so important. So thank you.
Oh, and absolutely. Thanks for having me. That's one of my big goals, is to spread awareness, give information, and to do it in an accurate way that doesn't let anyone feel confused or left out or, you know, confused about when they should get help.
Yeah. And you had mentioned a couple links that we're going to talk, I'm going to link to in the show notes. You had mentioned a couple links that I'm going to link to in the show notes. But as we wrap up, could you let folks know how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So the best way to find me, my website, it's just my name, MeganMcCutcheon.com. You'll spell it out in your link. You can also find me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. My email is on my website, but there's also a contact me form. If you have any questions about any of this, please get in touch or check it out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. If you liked the episode and would like to hear more, please follow Finding Your Village wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to use the code FYVPODCAST to sign up for the postpartum class at pregnancytopreschool.net to save 15% today. Thank you so much, and stay safe, healthy, and connected.